Romans chapter 14, and we're going to read the whole chapter together under the heading, as Sam has said, the weak and the strong. Accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does, for God has accepted him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So, whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For he will stand before God's judgment seat. For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother to fall. So, whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. But the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. This is the word of the Lord.
One of the weaknesses of the human race, I think, is to be critical and judgmental. Perhaps we're a bit like the man who said this: believe as I believe, no more, no less. That I am right and no one else confess. Feel as I feel, think as I think. eat what I eat and drink what I drink. Look as I look, do only as I do, then and only then will I fellowship with you. Hopefully none of us think that way. Or maybe we're like the wife who, having marital problems, went along to her pastor and said, "This is the problem, Pastor. Whenever my husband and I have a disagreement, he goes his way and I go God's." Two famous preachers of the 19th century, Spurgeon and Parker, supported each other greatly until Spurgeon discovered, horror of horrors, that Reverend Parker went to the theatre. And Reverend Parker discovered that Reverend Spurgeon smoked cigars. From that point on, they didn't support each other. And even Peter and Paul in the Bible, two great apostles, had several blazing rows and disagreements about what they should eat and who they should mix with. And so this is why here Paul is writing to converted Jews by and large, and he's telling them that you no longer have to live by the law and all its restrictions. You remember way back at the beginning of Romans, all those weeks ago, we were talking about the Jewish people who tried to win their righteousness through keeping the law. And now they're told you don't have to keep the law any longer, there is freedom. And so some of the Jews and the Gentiles grab this freedom so eagerly. Yes, we can do whatever we like. In fact, they even went as far as said it didn't matter what they did at all, because God would forgive them anyway. We can do anything. We're free from all the restrictions that we used to have to keep. And then there were others who remained bound by the old ways. They couldn't get out of the habits of the old days. What they must do on these days, what they couldn't do on these days, what they could eat, what they could drink. And we don't take any notice of it these days, but can you imagine for a Jewish person to be told that they could eat a bacon sandwich? A bacon sandwich? You're not supposed to eat pigs. Now they can. And so here Paul is writing to those who are struggling, because some of them are weak and some of them are strong. You can compare the passage in 1 Corinthians 8 if you want to read that at home. We haven't got time to do it now. But again, he's writing about very similar things, about people who feel that they can eat meat and people who think that they don't have to keep the special days any longer. The strong are those who have a great sense of freedom because of their Christian faith and in their Christian faith. And the weak are those who are still restricted by laws, customs, and traditions. And here in our passage, Paul mentions two specific areas of disagreement. The first one is found in verses 2 and 3. And it's what a person can eat. He says one man's faith allows him to eat anything, whereas another man who has weak faith only eats vegetables. And then in verses 5 and 6, he talks about the keeping of sacred days and what you could and couldn't do on particular days and what was involved in that. Why were these two things so important? Well, first of all, the meat. The meat may have been sacrificed to idols. And so the person who's weak in the faith would say, "I can't eat that meat. It's been killed in a particular way. They've said prayers over it. And it's been sacrificed, first of all, to these idols. It's pagan. I can't eat it." It might have been unclean. As we just said, in the Old Testament times, the Jews had loads and loads of food that they couldn't eat. Pork and shellfish and all sorts of things like that. That might be unclean. I can't eat that. I don't want to eat that. or it may be contrary to Jewish laws. So that's the problem with the meat. And then we've got the problem of the days. It wasn't just a matter of what day it was, like it was the Sabbath, or the Day of Atonement, or Pentecost, or whatever it might be, but it was the things that were restricted on those days. You could hardly do anything on a Jewish Sabbath. If you're an Orthodox Jew, it's still the case today that you do literally nothing. You can only walk a certain number of paces. You can't carry anything. You can't turn your lights on. You can't cook. And so here people were saying, well, okay, it's something new, but I can't live the Sabbath like that. I'm supposed to keep the Sabbath this way. And other people were saying, no, you can do whatever you like on the Sabbath now. It's the same as any other day. Now, Paul aligns himself with the people who are strong. In chapter 15, verse 1, he says this, we who are strong. So Paul has obviously reached the point where in his faith he believes that the eating of meat and the keeping of days is not important. But in this chapter 14, he gives guidelines as to how to deal with the disagreements that were going on. And perhaps we don't disagree about the same things these days, although in some ways we might. But I think they will help us to understand each other when we have differences of opinion. In verse 3, the weak are not to be condemned. Neither are the strong. God has accepted that person, says Paul, and so must we. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. And the man who doesn't eat everything mustn't condemn the man who does. For God has accepted him. Do we condemn, look down on other people that do things that we don't approve of? Paul says, don't condemn. It's not up to you to make up your mind about what they're doing. Because in verses 4 and 10 and verse 13, he goes on to say there is to be no judgment. You know, we can be so quick in judging people, can't we? I know I can. What are they doing that for? Why aren't they doing this? And Paul says you mustn't condemn and you mustn't judge. Because each one of us stands or falls before God alone. It's God who understands the situation. God has a true judgment. He is my master. He is your master. We must speak to him alone. And Paul says, don't forget that one day each one of us will give an account of ourselves to God. We don't give an account of someone else. Well, God, here I am at your judgment throne, and I want to tell you about X. They did this, they did that, they didn't do that. We will be asked to give an account of our own lives. When I was a teenager, we used to sing a song that went to a very jolly tune and had a very serious content. The accompaniment sounded rather like a one-legged horse, and then you sort of came in and it went something like this. You've got to walk that lonesome valley. You've got to walk there by yourself. And no one here can stand there for you. You've got to stand there by yourself. Quite cheery, as you can see. You've got to stand one day in judgment. You've got to stand there by yourself. And no one here can stand there for you. You've got to stand there by yourself. You're not standing there talking about someone else. You'll be there talking about yourself. And so Paul says, don't condemn. Don't judge. It's not our place. And don't look down on the person that you disagree with. And certainly don't despise or ridicule. I know I'm guilty to that of a certain extent. Sometimes I might go to a church where they believe things rather different to me. I say, you never guess what they wrote in their church magazine. Oh, that magazine, they were writing about women and hats again. Oh, why do they do it? Oh, they're always on about this, they're always on about that. We should never, ever ridicule or despise another person's belief. We should never, ever ridicule or despise what they don't believe, what they do or what they don't do. Let's never look down on our brothers and sisters. We can disagree with them, we can think that they're wrong. You can disagree with me and think that I'm wrong. But we don't despise, ridicule or laugh, however outlandish we might think that their views are. They have made them, hopefully, before God, as we have. In what we call the grey areas of Christian life, where behaviour is not clearly defined, each person has to decide before God what they believe. And so we have no right to laugh or criticise. Those who are strong mustn't force the weak to do what they do or believe what they believe. Many years ago, in my first year of teaching, I used to help run the school Christian Union. And one of the weeks I was there, we had a young man who came to speak. He'd not long left school, so he was only about 18. And he said, right, we're going to open our meeting today with prayer. Suzanne, I want you to open in prayer. Now that sounds fairly innocuous, doesn't it? But this young man knew that Suzanne was brought up in the church where it was wrong for a girl to pray in front of a boy. Now that might seem very strange to most of you, but that was the way that it was. And she said, oh no, I can't. And he kept on and on and on. Yes, you must. Come on, do it. And she kept saying, no, I can't, I don't. If I was being a bit older and wiser, I was only 21 at the time, perhaps I would have stepped in and said, now hang on. But you see, he was strong. Yes, anybody could pray. She was weak. That was what she'd been brought up to believe. A 16-year-old girl, I don't do this, it's wrong. And he pressured her and pressured her and pressured her until the end she did it. We don't make people do things that they don't want to do, that they don't think are right. If you feel it's right to drink and you have a friend who doesn't want to drink alcohol, don't force them to do it. It's their conscience. It's their decision. Discuss politely if you disagree. We're not out to win arguments. You know, my argument is better than your argument, and I'm going to make sure you agree with me. I'm going to put you right. That's not what it's about. Discuss politely. Exchange scriptures. Talk about it freely. Don't be selfish. Be loving. What should we do if we're strong? Although I was thinking about this, most of us are strong and weak. There are some areas in which we're strong, there are some areas in which we're weak. But when we're strong, remember, says Paul, what you do affects other people. I found this quote. I am not a separate tree planted on a hill, but I am a branch along with the other branches in Jesus Christ. I am not a building which stands separately and alone, but a stone along with the other living stones in the living temple, Jesus Christ. The poet wrote, no man is an island. And that's true in the Christian church. What you do, what I do, affects other people far more than we often think. And then sort out your priorities as individuals and as churches. Paul says this in verse 17. The kingdom of God is not a matter of what you eat and what you drink. It's not a matter of what days you keep or what days you don't keep. The kingdom of God is all about righteousness and peace and joy. It's about peace with God through faith in Him. If there's anyone here tonight that hasn't yet put their trust in Jesus, Christianity is not about keeping a lot of laws. It's about being right with God because you've put your faith and trust in Jesus. It's not about what you do and what you don't do. It's not about straining to meet a mark. It's about saying to God, I need you in my life. I need you to forgive me. I need you to make me right and give me peace with you and joy in my salvation. So let's sort out our priorities. What's really important? Is it loving God? Loving our neighbour? Loving each other? Or is it obeying certain rules? Is it you doing the things that I think that you should do and me doing the things that you think I should do? No. It's about being right with God and about living the way that He wants us to live. So in everything that we do, we live righteously. We attempt to bring peace. And we attempt to bring joy. If we're strong, we should think about others. In that famous passage on love in 1 Corinthians, Paul says this, love does not seek its own rights. In Philippians in chapter 2, he writes, look to the interests of others. And in 2 Corinthians 5, he writes, the love of Christ constrains us. To be constrained is to make to go a certain way because the channel is smaller. When we love God, we act in ways that please Him, not in ways that please ourselves. Are we only concerned with our own rights? I'm free. I can do what I like. It's not harming me, so I can do it. And if you don't like it, well, tough. Is that the way we live? Aim to build others up. In what we do, do we help others or knock them down? We should always ask, how will what I do affect others? Will it, in Paul's words, make us a stumbling block? Or will we be building someone up? We mustn't distress or destroy another believer. And that means that sometimes we will be prepared to give up our freedoms, to give up our rights, as Jesus did. Love for others limits our freedom. I read a story the other day about some missionaries who were working in a particular country, I don't know where it was, and they brought up their children not to eat any of the meat that were sacrificed to the local gods. Not because they believed it was wrong to eat the meat. There was nothing wrong with the meat, it was just meat. But they knew that the Christian converts from that tribe would be horrified because they were still bound by traditions. If you have someone to a meal and you drink wine and they don't, are you prepared just to put out the slur? So you don't upset them? Or do you say, I'm going to drink my red wine anyway, and if they're upset, well, more fool them. When I was younger, I once got reprimanded for singing in church in trousers. I know. And it's really not that long ago. I wasn't born in the Middle Ages. But you know, somebody came up to me once and said, oh, well, the singing was very nice, but oh, you really did upset me because you were wearing trousers and it's really not right. Okay. And I even heard a story the other day about someone who went to take a service and someone came up to her afterwards, an elderly lady, and said, I see you haven't read Deuteronomy. Oh, said my friend, which bit do you mean? I have read Deuteronomy. While it says in Deuteronomy that a woman mustn't wear that which pertaineth to a man. It was A.B. as well. And I said, are you being serious? She said, yes. You shouldn't wear trousers. Now, are we going to say, silly old lady? We know that it didn't mean trousers because no one wore trousers in the Old Testament. I'll wear whatever I like. If you were asked to go to that place to sing or to speak, would you respect her views? And put on a skirt, that's if you're a lady. Or would you say, I don't care what she thinks, because she's stupid. She's mistaken. I'll wear my trousers and she'll have to put up with it. Think about others. They might be totally wrong in their beliefs, but most people have got good reasons for them. So let's be prepared sometimes to put ourselves out. What if we're weak? Don't go against your conscience. Paul says, if you go against your conscience, you're going to feel guilty. Have you ever done something because you felt you should, even though you deep down felt it was wrong? Don't do it. Keep to your conscience. Don't do something just because you want to fit in, because of peer pressure. And then again, if you're weak about something, don't judge the people who are strong. Oh, they can't possibly be a good Christian if they do that. I don't do it. So they can't be a good Christian. Don't judge. Keep to your beliefs. And this is the same for all of us. But be prepared to change your mind. You never know. You might be wrong. I never know. I might be wrong. One day God might speak to you and say, what you thought all those years, you were wrong. Change your mind. And so we all need to be open to God and what he has to say to us. The quote here that says, I have learned that God blesses people and churches that I disagree with. So know what you believe and know why you believe it. Why do you think certain things about what you should do and what you shouldn't do? About whether you should drink or not, about whether you should wear trousers, about whether you should go to the cinema, about whether ladies should preach, about whether you need to wear a hat, all sorts of things. Why do you believe what you believe? Is it just because that's what you've been told? And you say, well, you know, the preacher said it, so it must be right. Go home and test it. Do you believe just because it's convention? Because it's superstition? If I do this, if I don't do this. Is it because you've been coerced? But we believe through conviction. So how do we choose? Well, what does the Bible say? Now, I know sometimes that's not particularly helpful. Because the Bible doesn't talk about cinemas, or trousers, or discos, or all sorts of other things that are in this modern world. But we need to know our Bibles. We need to know what God says. So if we're told that we should think about things that are good and wholesome, if we are told that we should be careful where we go and what we say, that will help us to make a decision. Is our conscience clear? Now we have to be careful with that one. Because we are all very good at adjusting our consciences, aren't we? Deep down you know you shouldn't, or you should, but you try and persuade yourself somewhere along that, well yes, I think I feel all right about it. What's your conscience about it? How will my choice affect others? Do we ever think about that? How will the choices that I make affect others? How will my choice affect me? And will my choice honour God? Paul writes, whatever you do, do it in the name of Jesus. We will all be weak at some times. We will all be strong at some times. In different ways and about different things. But Paul says here, Receive one another. Don't condemn each other. Don't judge each other. Build each other up. Please one another. Think about each other. By God's grace and to his glory. Amen. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Father, we pray that as we leave this place, we won't just say these words, but that we will live them in our own hearts and lives, that Jesus will be our Lord, that we will serve him in all that we do this week, that we will care for others and do your will. And so we pray that you will pass us with your blessing. Keep us in your love and peace until we meet again. For we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Saviour, the Lord of all. Amen. And we say together the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.